Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning. Welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and on the clock we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And let me tell you how you can join this conversation this morning. We are also streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Or download the Guardian Radio app for your Android smart devices. And listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. Good yawning this morning, and happy Father's Day again to all the fathers out there in the Bahamas. And then I wanted to say this as well, right? Like I ended the show last week saying that this is happy Father's Day for the fathers, and us women must chill ourselves out, right? However, I want to reframe that, because Father's Day is for us to celebrate fathers, but we also get to enjoy this time and this experience. It's not just for the daddies. It's not just for the people who still have their daddies, right? Some of us I lost my father over 30 years ago, right? But I enjoyed the weekend thinking about all the schemes and scams I could come up with to adopt a daddy for Sunday dinner. Right? I had a good time. And then I thought to myself, man, Erin, look here. Leave these by them to go find their children, right? To go have some fun. But also, to the by them who didn't reach out to their children yesterday. To the by them who's still having a difficult time in the relationship with their children's mothers and families. To the by them who may have lost children to death, unfortunate circumstances. To all of those people, right? Like, this is as well. And especially to the men who ain't got no children but insist on being fathers and daddies. Like, they wake up every day and they say, I know there is something out there that needs some fathering and I am on it. And I say, this was y'all day two, right?
Amen, amen.
You hear them two voices in here? I did catch two men. I did catch two men, and they were both already daddies, so it wasn't even no hard work involved. I want to say good morning to my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson.
Good morning, good morning.
And my guest for today, Dr. Ancelino Davis.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. So I'm going to get to a little housekeeping, but I just wanted to let people know you guys were in the room, and you feel free to engage in my short, very short, What's in the News segment. But first, did you miss the opportunity to save on your real property tax during the first round of the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program? Well, the program has been extended. Bahamian property owners can now take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways, bring your account to zero, or get a payment plan. Foreigners can receive a surcharge. This offer ends August 31st, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778, toll free. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Now, on Friday, I mentioned two training courses or opportunities being offered by the Citizen Security and Justice Program, Bahamas. One is a parenting class, and one is a class about understanding sexual violence. The applications can be found, or a link can be found, at the Ministry of Social Services, and the deadline, I think, has been extended. So if you are interested in either of those classes, parenting classes and understanding sexual violence classes, please, you could reach out to me on Facebook, or you can reach out to the Ministry of Social Services. I think those two courses are awesome, and people need to sign up. Okay, to the dazed and confused man on the pedestrian crossing at Dunkin' Donuts by the Hilton. Dear sir, I want to say thank you for your chivalry, allowing me to go first, I guess. But you're the pedestrian, and you're on the pedestrian crossing. You're standing right. Your job to cross the road. And I said, I wasn't going to mention it. I just chuckled to myself. But that happened to us three times this morning, where pedestrians felt they had the right of way to direct traffic. And I want to say to you all pedestrians, look here. You think these Bahamian drivers paying attention to y'all on the road? They ain't paying attention to y'all on the road. Don't be sitting there playing about you could let car go. Pedestrians have the right of way. When a car tells you to go, go. Check the way you was about to say, check the way you was going is clear?
Yeah, but no, I was going to say that. To be honest, sometimes you step out into the road and you see a driver who you ain't sure if they know that the pedestrian
crossing
has the right of the way.
Yeah.
Right? Or sometimes you might have someone stop that's going to let you go. Mm-hmm. But you look past that car and there's another person doing some foolishness in the back there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you no, you go ahead and let me see what this person behind you doing. So I understand it from a pedestrian situation. If I stop, stand still and let you go past, then I could watch what you're doing and walk when it's even more clear for me.
That's a YB. But then stay far back.
Don't stand in the middle of the road.
They be in launching traffic. Right, they be in launching mode and then telling you, I'll pause. I'd be like, boss, you, the spaceship about to take off. Take off. But also, an even more important note, to the people, I think y'all are customers of somebody in that area, who park their cars on the sidewalk outside Bay Street Medical Center. Now, I'm not saying that y'all are customers of Bay Street Medical Center, because there's plenty businesses around there. But I want to ask you this. Why do you think that you should park your vehicle on the sidewalk on Bay Street in a construction zone? You really think pedestrians should navigate the road in a construction zone while you park your nice, and sometimes they're very nice vehicles like taxis and, when you're more fancy than a taxi, like a limo or a livery thing? Yeah, them. Could we stop that, please? And to the police that, I don't know, y'all patrol right outside Dunkin' Donuts on the western side of that. Please pay attention to those people who park on the sidewalk and make it dangerous and difficult for pedestrians to navigate the road, because people are leaving the little rest, little fast food place there, and they're hungry and they're in their bag while they should be driving, even though we know that's called driving without due care and attention. Right. And
I think we need a camera or something. Camera.
I am sure the concentration of security cameras and cameras at the point right there is the highest concentration of cameras.
Right turn on Mackey Street.
But it's also a difference between prevention and punishment.
Right.
And that's, so when you get a camera and you monitor and you're trying to punish someone after the fact, as opposed to preventing it before the situation happened.
Right, right.
And I think having those police officers on that corner does prevent a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about a little bit of this prevention versus recovery
when
we talk about the hurricane preparedness. But yeah, this is what we're thinking. We're trying to be forward thinking.
Yeah. Right. No, we see those the officers that have their morning meeting by Dunkin' Donuts. If they would shift right around the corner to the Cumberland Street side, right, like on both sides, then we'd see a lot of prevention, right? The majority of infractions are occurring on the Cumberland Street side and not on the West Bay heading west side. You know what I'm saying?
If I tell you the story, this taxi that turned right on that red light coming out of Mackey Street.
So coming from the north side, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I'm talking 2 inches from hitting him because he decided that it was his time to, you know.
Yeah, in fact, I saw that on Saturday. I had the fortune of not being in my car very long on Sunday, but I watched a taxi driver turn right on red at Mackey Street, northbound to westbound, with tourists in the vehicle.
Oh, yeah. A van full up.
It just.
Van full up.
I was stunned. See, let me tell you something. I'm in the generation of people where you listen to the news and there was a mistake. Mm-hmm. Your parents or the people in that generation, they used to write ZNS and say, look here. Last night, the anchor made the four mistakes the anchor made, you know, and this is just for your edification. Generation I grew up in, right?
Yeah.
So I don't understand how people continue to get away with this, given that we already have a mechanism to deal with it. And we have strategy available to us, not just through from other police forces around the world, but we have universities that are dedicating hundreds of hours to studying the dynamics around traffic enforcement and traffic behavior and how traffic enforcement impacts not just traffic behavior and driving behavior, but wider social dynamics. Anyway, that's just me getting a little upset. Got two texts, a great show as usual. When I become PM, I put in a ban on all Japanese cars because people in these disposable cars can't drive. Also, the first person throw a beer bottle or garbage out their car window is getting being executed on the spot. That is draconian and harsh. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying about sending strong messages, and this is important. But that is draconian and harsh. But let me tell you why. Very quickly, caller, hold on for a moment. Don't go nowhere. Because the problem isn't that people don't know that garbage should go in the garbage bin, you know. The problem is there are not enough garbage bins available to put the trash in. Now, mind you, in a car, your car is a de facto garbage bin until you get to just drop it on the ground.
Right. On the inside your car.
Yeah, inside the car.
Right. So I definitely have to kind of take counterpoint to that.
Okay.
I think there's definitely enough waste receptacles for whatever type of trash you have.
You ain't been to Montague Beach yet.
The thing is, a waste key bottle or whatever that comes in a case, that case is an automatic receptacle for you to put that back in when you finish. Right?
Yeah, but I only buy three for five.
And then when you say there isn't enough trash bins, it mightn't be right there, but you're not going to be stuck inside that position. You're not a tree. You could move to someplace else and find that trash bin. And what the problem is the difference between people's values.
Right.
Do I value my car being bottle free more than I care about the natural environment, the people who have to pick it up, the potential for forest fires? Adelaide was burning for like a week, right? All the forests out there was burning. And people don't think about that. They don't care about that. They're not educated about that. I didn't learn about that when I was in primary school or high school. But now I know that my students, when I tell these primary school kids about that, their parents will call me the next week like, man, you have my child rowing me out about doing this and doing that. Well, you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Your child is going to lead us into a better Bahamas in the future because of it.
Yeah, and it reinforcing forcefully valuable principles that you should have already known, parents. But on another note, dear Honorable MP Shenandoah Cartwright, don't listen to this boy, Dr. Davis, okay? I mean, he's making some valid points. However, we still need more bins out at the beaches.
Right.
And what we need you to do is we need you to take one big dumpster out to the beach when it's a holiday or it's a, you know plenty of people going, and leave staff there to monitor it. Because some of y'all are disgusting and think that that dumpster was put there to collect all your apartment trash, right? Some of y'all landlords see the
construction
dumpster
debris.
Construction debris, right? That's not what it's for. Because I think about the cousin who get the car, or maybe the cousin who rent the car for the holiday weekend, right? And he going and he picking up mom, he picking up grammy, and he picking up as many little children as he could put inside that car. And he really thinking, I ain't got room for the garbage in the car. I already got to clean out all the sand before I take it back to the rental place, right? It's so much to do. I really just trying to give these people a good time. And so I would like to say that it's about balance, but the balance has to start with what Dr. Davis said, right? Like it has to start.
It's a community thing as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But we do need more accessibility to the waste receptacles. I can agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean it's pretty cheap to go to AID. There's these collapsible watertight bins. I actually have one in my car that is literally my garbage bin. It's really simple. Keep your garbage in.
Absolutely.
Come on.
So I get another text here. Aaron, I'm convinced the radiation from Fukushima is coming out of the ACs of the disposable cars and destroying. Now, text, I'm going to rephrase here. Destroying drivers' critical thinking abilities. Well, we do know that the cars have to be tested before they are either put on the ship or when they're offloaded from the ship. They have to be tested.
I tend to agree with that text, though. I had some passos trying to overtake me in bumper-to-bumper traffic and literally trying to squeeze in the front of me as I'm bumper-to-bumper with the person in front of me.
Now, I go in with Dr. Davis on this one. This is about community. It's not about the fact that it's a Japanese-made car. It came from Japan, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about radiation in the car.
Right.
It's about community.
Exactly.
It's about the driver's relationship with the bank and the person he bought the car from, right? When you buy a car through the bank, you got to go talk to the bank every month. While you are at that loan, you got to go to the dealership every 3 months for the warranty. You got to go look these people in the face. And when they look at the car and they see the car all ding up and they ask you questions, you guys look them in their face and be honest with them about what happened to the car. So I'm looking at this boy now, like me and him, I'm cheering together. That's that look, right? He's looking at me like, Mrs. V, I don't know you. But that's the level of intimacy that you have with your bank and with the car dealership. When you buy a Japanese car one time, you put that money bang on the table, you ain't gonna talk to nobody. No more.
I disagree, though.
That's the attitude right there that those small car drivers are rolling with.
But I think it's a balance between the two. There's a relationship that you have with your ownership of that car. Whereas if you know you're paying $200-something a month for this car and the bank could take that from you or something like that, you're trying to take care and baby this car as much as you could. And you know this car costs $20,000. That's one thing. Another thing is you scrounge $5,000 together and you get this car straight off the boat. You know it wasn't worth that, but you just got to get to work.
Yeah.
And but then people have this relationship with their time and your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you walking around as a pedestrian in the road, who they going to see for half a second when they blast past you?
Mm-hmm.
Your life doesn't have much value to them at that time.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they also they're not valuing that car and they probably overestimating their ability to react.
Oh, yeah. That's
to whatever happens on the road, too.
Like most people think they got it. They certain they have it.
Yeah.
But look here, the odds may the odds forever be in your favor because you're only relying on the odds to get through. But I think we don't have enough social scientists, right? Having these conversations and engaging behaviors. I say interested, but I think they're wrong. I think Bahamians are very interested, and it's just about how you frame the conversation mm-hmm. and how you come at them with it, right? Yeah. You show them, I ain't coming to teach you something. I come in to beg you to teach me something, King.
Right.
Right? Okay. I have another text here. Morning, Miss Green, Tree Straight, FNM, FNM, FNM. To that person on the phone line, I am sorry. I'm going to fine you and give you a mango for that. My apologies. Okay. It is 10:28. Let me read to y'all some of these headlines that I wanted to get to, but we're probably going to get to tomorrow given the nature of the headlines. But first of all, Dear Water and Sewerage, the road's still leaking on East Shirley Street. It's still leaking. It's still leaking. A very important story. Prisoners still requesting access to purchase potable water in prison. Listen. Okay, y'all heard that? Silence. Where's the legal community? First of all, how could you be telling me that prisoners have to pay water? Potable means drinkable, right? What you mean prisoners have to pay for access to water that will not make them sick?
And we expect them to be treated fairly in a vaccine.
No, forget all of that. This is not... Who's in charge? Dear prisoner, sue them. Sue them. That's the only thing that's going to work. Sue them. Kermit, let's go to this caller very quickly. Oh. Ah, that line isn't working. Well then. No problem. Second... Today, right now, possibly, the Prime Minister is announcing the terms of the new vaccination day and the new vaccination protocols and relaxation of protocols for people who are fully vaccinated. And I have this quote that was from the paper today from the Prime Minister. And it goes like this, quote, I also can say that when it comes to vaccine and the freedom of movement, we have given you the cake, and come Monday, you will receive the icing. Close quote. I'm going to leave that right there because I don't have enough time to delve into it, but I just want to say this one thing very quickly. Dear Prime Minister, do you remember the last people who offered us cake? Like, do you remember the last them cake? You don't remember them, eh? It wasn't my Grammy. My Grammy don't share cake. My Grammy don't share cake, so it wasn't her. Who were the last people that tried to give us cake? And what is this major announcement for Grand Bahama? Why is it such a secret? It's almost as if you don't wait for us and you don't feel like you have to tell us what you're doing while you're on the job. Also, I'm not the only person who's concerned about all of this because the Consulting Physicians Association is also very concerned. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, how I can raise that concern? Why is the Consulting Physicians Association raising concerns about possible discrimination in the policy for the vaccine rollout? And the Bar Association has not said a word to the public yet. That is what I'm concerned about. Kermit, we ready for this caller here? Caller, you're on the clock.
Oh, God, I can't wait so long with you and your guest, Aaron.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. What I would like to say, right?
Yes, sir.
I would wish the Bar Association had to work so when people want to call them. But yeah. They're holding people back also.
Yes,
the lawyers in this country, they're holding people back.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Brayman. Thank you very much. Wow. Well, see, thank you. See, Brayman brought balance because I was here freaking myself out. Bar Association have far bigger problems than, you know, providing a legal framework for the biggest human rights and legal issue and constitutional issue to face the country in a long time. They still trying to figure out how to get their phone to work. Dear Bar Association, please give me a call so we could verify whether your phone system is working correctly or not. Also, I could chip in $5 on the Y. Another point I just have to get to quickly. I'm asking a question here. This is an inquiry. I'm asking a question. I'm trying to find the answer. There was a food distribution and health and wellness exercise at the Golden Gates World Outreach Ministries this weekend. And there is a local paper, which is not the Guardian or the Tribune, that suggests or says that people that they could get a $50 food package if they were to get vaccinated at the event. I am asking, did this actually happen? Could somebody call me or call the station and leave a message for me to let me know if people went to an exercise looking for food and were told that they could get a food package if they got the vaccine? And were there any counselors out there? And were there any medical professionals out there prepared to sit with people to discuss the dynamics of the decision at hand? As a question mark, question mark, question mark, I just want to know if that actually happened. One more thing before we get into our second half of the show. Dr. Dwayne Sands, has the government really done as well as they could with the medical and healthcare, medical care infrastructure in the country? Do you know what an archipelagic exterior is? That's when, like, you have a part of your country, like, it's all islands, and they, like, out. In an archipelagic exterior, you still have an obligation to make sure that all of the citizens, wherever they are, have equal and equitable access to services. So the first answer is no, the successive governments have not done as well as they could. That is a joke, a poorly scripted joke. There are family members who have lost loved ones who are sitting home now wondering, what are you talking about? It is a joke. And I have a rule. You can't even give me your $400 for nomination if you don't know what an archipelagic exterior is. You can't even give me the $400 to take from you. Two quick texts and then we go into our break. You all hear about the garbage truck getting robbed. Question, why would you rob the people on the garbage truck? Because they broke. What will you get? First of all, you don't know if they broke. Second of all, they should be getting paid more than a whole bunch of y'all out here. Civil servants, that is. And politicians, obviously. Let's not disparage our sanitation engineers. And if you want to call them garbage men, I call them garbage men with respect in my voice. Don't be disrespecting these boy them, man. And these are some of the most polite, respectful, cool brethren you will ever meet. And helpful.
Yeah, shout out to the Adelaide crew. Come all the way back in the back there. Thank you all very much for dealing with that stuff in front of our yard.
Right, and shout out to the Fox Hill, Johnson Road, Eastern Road crew. They're always waking, no matter how many bad head pot cakes we have through the place. Somebody says, Marie Antoinette was the last to offer cake. Not really. She offered brioche. Maybe that's cake. That's fancy cake that we can't afford. And when you're offering us cake we can't afford, we know something is up. Anyway, thank you, texters. Don't go nowhere. I got to go somewhere. It's time for a break. And when we get back from the break, Dr. Davis, Mr. Thompson, and myself, we will be talking about hurricane preparedness.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The round the top 4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-JSJohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your channel for fresh news, smart talk all day. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Let's pause for a financial minute. Did you know the new Public Debt Management Act 2021 aims to provide a modern and comprehensive legal framework for promoting greater clarity, discipline, and transparency and accountability in public debt management operations in the Bahamas? This new law comes into effect July 1st, 2021. This financial minute has been brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Good morning, Bahamas. Well, as you know, we are almost at the end of June, and June marks the beginning of hurricane season, right? And yes, so here I am on the 21st of June having a conversation that is obviously 2 months late. Ah, boy. Even I have slipped up. Even I am not taking the danger or the seriousness. What do you call it, Dr. Davis? What's the official language?
I think we as Bahamians are generally not very proactive. And so we're not taking that measure seriously. Absolutely. For hurricane and emergency preparedness in general.
Absolutely. And it's not just the preparing your property and preparing your home for a storm. It's also preparing yourself mentally and psychologically for a storm. Mm-hmm. I tell you all just very quickly, I spent Hurricane Floyd in my house. 3 days we were sheltered in that house, right? And there was a massive coconut tree that withstood Floyd. It took Matthew to take the coconut tree down. It withstood Floyd. Mm-hmm. We spent 3 days, and two of those days was just coconuts hitting the roof and coconuts hitting the side of the house, right? And the storm itself was actually relatively mild, right? It was one of the biggest, like in terms of breadth and length, right? In terms of size, it was one of the biggest, but relatively mild. But those 3 days, and then it was the post-storm. I think we spent 9 days. I spent 9 days without water. Oh, no, 9 days, I think, without electricity. And then 2 weeks possibly without water, something like that. And it was in that moment that I became an island woman. Right? It was in those moments that I had to get my mind right. And just know, like, you know that you ain't gonna die because you got to tote water.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna die because you got to bathe in the cold water.
And this is part of hurricane preparedness. If we as Bahamians, one, acknowledge that, yes, hurricanes are getting stronger, they're becoming more frequent, and put ourselves in that mindset that we need to be prepared because it will happen. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about disaster preparedness, because you can have an emergency, never becomes a disaster if you're prepared. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the key takeaways that I want everyone to think about. You could have, loss of electricity, but if you have backup energy, or if you are prepared to live without that electricity, it's not a disaster.
Yeah.
Right? If you have medical needs that you know after a hurricane you may be without transportation, electricity, or water for 2 weeks, and you got your emergency medical supplies together before that, it's not a disaster.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And this is what we're really going to be talking about on Thursday with our webinar. Israel Bahamas is hosting a webinar with three great panelists. We have Kemi Jones, who has done research on what other communities have done around the world and how we can look at them for lessons learned for the Bahamas. We have Dr. Richard Adderley, who is a mental health professional, and he is going to talk about mentally preparing. Mm-hmm. And we have Professor Bridget Hogg she's my professors when I was there, so I'm very happy to reconnect with her. But she's talking about real practical things that you can do for your home, for your community, to get prepared for the hurricane.
Awesome. So season. So I like that. This, I want to say, if you ain't got your all your money together yet, still tune into this, right? Like if you don't have your plan together yet, you may not even be the person in charge or the person who makes the decisions in the household. But tune in to this discussion. I see you got a caller on the line. Let's get to the caller very quickly. Caller, you're on the clock.
Aaron, I called back because I want to apologize for generalizing that statement. I should have said some of these lawyers in this country are keeping people back.
I hear you, Brayman. Thank you very much. And I also didn't really get into the critique I wanted, which was, it is not all, but for a community of 2,000 plus lawyers, we really, really are expecting more from y'all. More. Bahamians need help understanding the legal language, the legal frameworks that direct their lives. They need to be able to understand these things so they could make better and healthier decisions. And that's what we want from your legal community, to help people. You want the status that society offers being a lawyer, or you guys do the hard work to earn the status. So thank you for that, Brayman. Again, says, we can't prepare for the hurricane because plywood is $80 a sheet. Who could afford that? Okay. But I don't think that just because plywood is $80 a sheet, A, you should stop trying to buy plywood, and B, you should just not prepare. So Dr. Davis, practical preparations for the Bahamas.
So firstly, $80 a sheet is expensive.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. I can't even rebuke that, right? Mm-hmm. But it's definitely going to be more expensive if you try to buy all the plywood for your house one time the week before the hurricane hit.
Right.
And this is also one of the reasons why we want to have this webinar at the beginning of hurricane season and make sure that people at least have the information available and accessible, and it will be recorded and shared to our Facebook page. So you can also visit us on IsraAid Bahamas. But we want people to be prepared or have the knowledge and resources beforehand. And a lot of times it's, you know, you do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit that it isn't easy to batten down a house by yourself, but the cool thing about living in the Bahamas is we have community.
Mm-hmm.
So another part of the mental health preparation is getting in touch with your community,
mm-hmm.
making sure you know whose house needs what. You know, who can you count on? Who can you call? Who's around the corner and who's down the street? Who lives on the hill when the flooding rises, mm-hmm. right?
Let me send a quick shout out to Kino Wong from the National Neighborhood Watch Council, right? Mm-hmm. And it made me think, can communities that already have add another sort of unit, which becomes a hurricane preparedness unit for that same community you monitor for crime, right? Mm-hmm. And should, you know, and otherwise, maybe Bahamians, we need to start creating community hurricane prep groups, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe this is something that we ask our constituency offices once the politics is over and you revert back to a community office, right?
Right.
That we ask our community offices to set up in the same way we have polling divisions and districts, that we create these divisions or these, you know, where people focus on ensuring that everybody in that space is prepared.
But here's the thing. Elections is only every 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the scientific data says that we're having these climate change-powered storms every 2 years now.
Okay.
So one thing is, if you're a politician and you're listening to me, when you go around to people's houses, instead of asking them for a vote, give them some hurricane preparedness tips, right, and supplies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I want all of the political parties to do this. This isn't mm-hmm. a political thing. This is a Bahamian thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then also, just remember, as a Bahamian, they can't pay you for your vote,
mm-hmm.
right? They can give you money. They can do stuff for you. But they're asking you to trust them with your vote, your power. And so I would really encourage them to do stuff before mm-hmm. asking for the vote, not saying, vote for me, and then I will help you with hurricane preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
because if you're running in St. Anne's, where I live, right? Me and my neighbor, Mrs. Knowles, Rachel Knowles, right? That's my good, good neighbor, right? She in Long Island, and she come to Nassau, and she have to leave the beauteousness of Long Island to come to funky Nassau, right? Mm-hmm. And she always have tips for me and things she'd like to share with me about how we could make our communities better. Mm-hmm. And she and I had this idea while we were looking at my mango tree, right? And she said, wouldn't it be great if constituency office had a partnership with an importer of some sort, and they would ensure that each household had a number of garbage bags
right.
every week or every month come to the, you know, that you could come and pick up so that you could try to do a better job of storing your garbage until it's time for garbage pickup,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, with the bags, you get the tips on yeah. how to, not just how to tie the bag, but how to create a bin, how to store your garbage properly, how to put it in the bag properly, right?
Right, right.
And all of those things. I want to send a shout out to my Long Island neighbor, you know, for always having a good tip and a good word.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you talk about garbage. That's one of, that's a part of hurricane preparedness.
Yeah.
Cleaning up your yard, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Making sure that you don't have debris flying around and stuff like that. But also garbage bags. They can be really useful for you to waterproof things really quickly. So you just have make sure that you have garbage bags on hand, but the good ones.
Yeah,
right.
The good ones.
That don't let the garbage juice leak out or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. If not they don't the liners, because there's two types. There's a liner and then there's the garbage bag itself.
Right.
The garbage bag.
And so if it doesn't let water out, it won't let water in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes time, when you see that rain start coming heavy and you see it start rising up, you put it inside a garbage bag, a Rubbermaid container, a Ziploc. And even after that, you know, your fridge can be off. You could put it inside the fridge.
Right.
Yeah.
You could put documents and stuff inside the fridge and they'll be safe in there.
Right.
Wow.
I think it's worth to mention also preparing grab bags. We were taught in IOM with emergency response and preparedness to always prepare a...
And what's IOM? Sorry.
International Organization for Migration.
Right? Okay.
So we were taught to prepare a grab bag that includes things like your passports, your important documents, and you have a garbage bag as well in there so that you can waterproof that bag if you need to. So I think it's worth mentioning also to have that prepared, because if you got to move and you want to say, keep these things on you just so... You come up to the first shelter, they need ID. You got your ID, you got right your then. Stuff on you. You pretty
and,
much.
And again, this is preparedness. Yeah. So this isn't reactiveness.
Exactly.
Right.
So we don't want you to wait until the hurricane is bearing down and then you're trying to find this Israel page on Facebook. No, tune in
regularly.
Thursday. And also things like those documents.
Yes.
You don't have to wait them there. Right. You're not using your passport every day. Keep it inside that secure, safe location where everyone in your family also knows where it is.
I tell people, invest in Ziploc bags just to secure documents. And let the chef, let the person in charge of the kitchen know this is not for kitchen things. This is for important things. Because, you know, my Ziploc bags just get teeth all the time.
Yeah.
Also, on an important note, if during or post-storm you find any of my mangoes in your yard because they get flinged by the hurricane, first of all, you can't sue me because the hurricane did it. But second of all, I am willing to come and reclaim and retrieve all of those mangoes from you. So just look at the mango and call the number on the mango, and I will gladly come and get every single mango out your yard.
It might be small. Some of them might have to rip that open and just check inside to look for where the number is.
Just say, don't get upset if I damage 75 looking for the number.
Right.
Yeah. I just looking
but,
out
but
for
even things
like
that, right? If you have a coconut tree and it's hurricane season, now is the time to have your coconut tree regularly cleaned, right?
Right, right.
And there's some guys on the side of the road who I know will come with you really well. So so you can go and, you know, hail up one of them.
Right. And so, okay, on a grander scale, right? Because I'm always looking for solutions. We're always looking for solutions, right? I ain't trying to get nobody locked up. Like I said, Aaron Green, I ain't trying to call the police on you for real, for real. But if you coming in my yard without permission and I done catch you once or twice and I done tell you, please don't come in my yard, what am I supposed to do next, right? I supposed to get upset. But here's what we really need to do, Bahamas. We got millions of coconut trees in the archipelago. Mm-hmm. And we got hundreds of millions of coconuts being produced every year. What we need is a coconut tree inventory, a proper inventory, so we could get a sense of where all the trees are. Then we need a system. So, I mean, just in case we somehow pop up with two major resorts, one trying to cater to the whole of Asia, like just in case something like that were to happen, we could potentially serve fresh coconut water to the people we tell to come here, right? Mm-hmm. But if we had a system where young men who need work or need mm-hmm. temporary work could come in and work the system and be a part of either a team that goes out to identify where trees are, to clean where trees are, to take the coconuts down, to process the coconuts, or to process the other organic waste. Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting. So some of what you're talking about is mapping.
Right.
Right? Mapping, knowing where these coconuts are, and let's call them hurricane hazards. Mm-hmm. So not just coconut trees, but debris, dump sites, where are your lamp poles and electricity sources.
Mm-hmm. 1 second. Dear BPL and BTC and Cable Bahamas, this one's for you. Go on.
Okay, so the mapping is super important, and knowing where these things are. And so Kemi Jones is going to talk about what, you know, people have done globally to mm-hmm. to prepare for hurricanes. And some of that includes knowing where your resources are. You also talked about the gentlemen who are able to deal with these coconuts and stuff like that beforehand. Yeah. Knowing where those human resources are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not when at the government level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that you're thinking like industry-wise.
Right.
But on the community level, and when you're talking about mental health, you want to know about your family and friends who have the coconut picker or who have the access to the pickup truck so that they could get some of that debris out of your yard. And when you have this community that you know, hey, today we cleaning up mommy yard. Tomorrow we cleaning up Lino yard. Next day we going to Jameson yard. Hey, Jameson, my brother, I know you're listening.
Well, hold on. And hey, Mr. Knowles. Rachel knows good for his son who does the very same thing. Like, I just want people to know that, yes, I'm a feminist, I'm an intersectional feminist, and I talk about the things, but I also talk about the men out there that are doing the things. Mm-hmm. Go on.
And so, yeah, so this really establishing community and working to know where our infrastructure and stuff is, that's exactly along the lines of what we need to be doing to prepare beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then that, when you have preparedness is not just for the emergency.
Right.
Preparedness makes every. Mm-hmm. It's like when you install a ramp for handicap accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's also convenient for me to walk on as well.
Yeah.
Right? That's also convenient for you to get your shipments in and out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do something forward thinking and with the preparation in mind, we make it better and easier in the long run, right, as well.
All right.
And I think it, to mention these oil companies, Grand Bahama and other places, I think it important that you guys also do some preparedness so that we don't have the same thing that happened in Dorian happen again, because it will piss us activists off.
Listen, I mean, when you say that, that's such a strong word. Anybody who likes the ocean, anybody who like plum, anybody who like chasing Chikchani in the night and that's what they call a ghost move. Anybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody is concerned about hurricane preparedness mm-hmm. at that industrial level. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have Dr. Davis back on, hopefully in the next month, to talk about, like, I don't even know quite yet how to have the conversation, whether I'm coming at it from an advocate, activist,
right,
point of view, or from a conservation point of view, or from a
different Aaron.
All come together.
They're not different. From a sustainability perspective, when we're looking at hurricane and disaster preparedness right now, when we're looking at economic impacts, we're looking at social and environmental justice. Oil is a really big, important thing. We're talking about the Equinor oil spill in mm-hmm. Grand Bahama, mm-hmm. for example. We have the Grand Bahama Utility Company, and they have their well fields, which were not impacted directly by that, but the aquifer underneath Grand Bahama is all connected. Mm-hmm. So anything that goes into the ground there, you have to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
You have BPC, they just changed their name to Challenger Energy Group, and they're hoping to continue to explore for oil in the Bahamas. But the west side of Andres and the flamingos over there are blue holes in Andres.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The crab industry, all the Bahamians who had crab and rice yesterday,
yeah.
Imagine if for the next 30 to 50 years your crabs had toxins from oil spills inside it. These are issues in and disaster preparedness. Every industry has a vulnerability mm-hmm. to hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, whether it's losing access to your personnel, whether it's direct damage to your physical infrastructure, where it's a breakdown in the supply chain, so you mm-hmm. can't get the resources that you need. Plywood costs $80, things like that. But ultimately, and in the long run, we have a lot of psychosocial issues, economic issues that we have to think about as well. And so that's all important, and it's all tied.
Absolutely. Just as we end the show, let me get to these last two texts. Good morning, Aaron and guests. In response to the text that spoke about the cost of plywood, I suggest using wooden pallets disassembled and reassembled as hurricane shutters. But I would say you really have to ensure the quality of the wood that you are disassembling. Last text, if you have people coming in your yard, call the people in Step Street, problem solved. Well, let me just say that Johnson Road has amazing community watch councils and associations, right? You don't watch nothing. Step Street is a community that is getting undeserved flack and maybe going through some things right now, but, you know, Step Street, or Congo Town, right? When you say Congo Town, you know the historic importance.
Right.
Thank you for that little joke text. So you give me a whole show that I need to have just on that. So
I just want to remind everyone that the webinar will be on it. We already have it posted as an event on our Facebook page, ISRAAID Bahamas, ISRAAID Bahamas. And you can go there and find out the details. Please register in advance so that you can make sure that you have a space in there. And then we will also record that information online, and we'll have some tips and tricks over the week.
I just want to say to be careful with those pallets, too. I responding to the disaster in Abaco, we actually saw a piece of a pole go straight between the two of them, straight through the window. Easily.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's my music. That means it's time to go. That means Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. So stay tuned, because you have an exciting day. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Have a great day, Bahamas. I will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we talk in Mango. Change my name to Mangola Mango. Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.